Luke chapter 2. The message today is the coming of Jesus, God's consolation for the young. Last week, the message was the coming of Jesus Christ, God's consolation for young and old. Today, I want to emphasize the coming of Jesus, God's consolation for the young. So we will read just a few scriptures, and then I want to bring several more to your attention without reading them. Luke chapter 2, 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples. Notice, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and then he sees the consolation and says, you have prepared it before the face of all peoples, not just Israel. Now, chapter 6, Luke 6. Verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Now, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, our Savior has gone into the temple. He's made him a scourge of cords and driven out the money changers, those that were making God's house a house of merchandise. And this is what he says. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, but it's a house of praise. And verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children that were crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were moved with indignation, and said unto him, hearest thou what these are saying? And Jesus said unto them, yea, did you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Notice carefully. The children that were crying in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. And one other verse in Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And then we will try to join these scriptures together. Philippians 2. Verse 1. If therefore there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions. Now, why would I read this verse? The question that is asked expects a yes answer. Of course. Well then, notice. He does not refer to a variety of people, but to one. Listen to it again now. If therefore there is any exhortation or consolation in Christ, Is there? Yes. Is there any comfort of love in Christ? Yes. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? Yes. Is there any tender mercy? Yes. Is there any compassion? You say, yes. And all of these things are in Christ. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the clearing up of all the mystery and confusion and bewilderment that has been upon the hearts of men since sin and suffering and death came into the world. We are thankful, our Father, that though you knew the end from the beginning, your creatures did not know. You said concerning your creatures, you spoke to them in time past, in many portions, in many manners. Our Father, all these portions now that you spoke in the past, we have gathered together, and they have been put together, and now we have your full revelation. We are thankful, our God, to whom that revelation points, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have read some scriptures about him. Let us know that the scriptures are filled with things concerning thy Son, and we have read only a few. But we desire that these few that we've read of him might remind us of the other scriptures that tell us of Christ, and that our gaze and our hopes and our all shall rest upon Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this morning, bless us by thy Spirit to this end. By thy Spirit, prepare hearts and empower lips, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, God's consolations brought to young and old by the coming of Jesus. And last week, what I did was to emphasize how the coming of Jesus was consolation to the old. I can relate to that. I can say with David, I have been young and am old. And once you're old, you have an advantage over the young. It's this. The young can only think of how it's going to be when they are old. But those that are old know what it is to be old, and they can think back to how it was when they were young. And so for this reason, one who has been young but now is old, this one has had some experience of life, has examined what men set before us as the summum bonum, what is the very best for man, and if there is a young person, what is so sad is this, they try one thing, they try another, there are bitter disappointments, and some of the things they try, like the myriads are trying today, they discover that it isn't good at all. It is destruction. But others have tried some things, seen the other avenues of life that they have tried. Having tried them and tried other things, now that they're old, they can look back and say, I have tried this, I've tried that, and I can tell you in my old age that this is the best. No young person can do that. Because some in their youth say, this is the life. But then that which was life to them turns bitter. And when it becomes a part of them, it destroys them. And what they thought was life turns out to be death. But if they have been young and have become old, and had tried all things that men set before them as the good life. Then, in their old age, they can say, I was wrong in my youth, but in my old age, this is the best. That is why I told you that the coming of the Lord Jesus was God's consolation for young and old. And concerning the old, I told you why especially. There are some needs that are in the hearts of older people that young people do not think of at the time, but old people do. And I told you about them last week. I cannot repeat them this week. But the Lord Jesus is the consolation for the old. And one thing that I did tell you, the word consolation, the root word consolation, is the same word that our Savior used when he said, if I go to heaven, I will send another comforter. So think of this, a comforter, a consolation from heaven. But he said, I will send you another comforter. Well, who was the first comforter? Who was the first consolation? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, when I go to heaven, I will send you another comforter. So when Simeon, an old man, was looking for the consolation of Israel, the consolation of Israel was in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he held the Savior in his hands and he said, now let thy servant depart, O Lord, in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I told you, and I repeat, that all that God has to give to man, and this is the word that is used, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the consolation of Israel, all that God has as consolation for mankind is Jesus Christ our Lord. And those whose minds have been enlightened look at Christ and say, of course, this is God's consolation. All right. I mentioned that he was the consolation for old people, but quite often that which is a consolation to old people is not a consolation to young people. So what will we do? Look to God and say, all right, you have sent a consolation to an old person, Simeon, Anna. You sent them a consolation. Now, what are you going to send me, a young person, for a consolation? God will say, the same thing. All consolation is in my Son. It resides in him. There is no consolation other than my Son, and no consolation other than my Son is needed. That is why I read to you in Philippians chapter 2. Think for a moment now. If you wanted certain qualities, you would go and get this man. If you wanted different qualities, you would get another man. And then, still another man, and another man. Whereas, if we want any quality that is acceptable in God's sight, God says, you do not need but one man. That is my Son. And that is why I read to you from Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul said, if therefore there is any consolation in Christ, yes. If any comfort of love in Christ, yes. If any fellowship of the Spirit in Christ, yes. If any tender mercies, if any compassions, yes. What is Paul saying? He is telling us of one man. And he asks, are all of these things to be found in Christ? And if you answer, yes, they are, then all the consolations of God are in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in him for old and they are in him for young. And he is the only one who can bring satisfaction to the heart of young and old. And this is what I told you the first week, and it was startling, but it's true. How old is Jesus Christ a consolation for a person? How old can that person be and Christ still be their consolation? Do you realize that Anna had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity? And let's give her the extreme youth. Say she was married when she was 14 and she had lived 7 years, that's 21, and now it has been over 80 years. You say, well, that woman is over 100 years old. And when Jesus Christ came into the temple, Anna, as well as Simeon, looked at that Savior and she said, this is my consolation. She spoke of him to everyone. Do you know anybody over 105 years old? You say, no. Well, if Christ then be a consolation to someone that old, to whom can he not be a consolation at whatever advanced age they are? You say, he can be a consolation to any old person. Fine. I also told you last week that when Mary, who had Christ in her womb, came and visited Elizabeth, her cousin, and saluted Elizabeth, then this was her reply. She said, when you saluted me, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Well, may I ask you this? Can anyone be younger than a babe that has not as yet been born? You say, that's impossible. I see. And yet here is John the Baptist in a mysterious way that only God can fully understand. And yet he sets it before us. And when the voice of the mother of the Lord Jesus was spoken, that babe in the womb of Elizabeth leaped for joy because that babe heard the voice of Jesus. Then let me ask you, if Jesus can be a consolation for one so young that the person has not yet been born, and a consolation for one who is so old, they're over 100 years of age, then for whom can Jesus Christ not be a consolation? You say, there's no one for whom he cannot be a consolation. And that is what God wants you to know. You say, then if I'm an old person, I can come to Jesus and find consolation? Yes, thank God. And if I'm a young person, do I not have to wait until I'm old? As a young person, may I come to Jesus and find consolation? I not only say yes, I tell you he is the only one to whom you can come and find consolation. And the reason I read to you in Luke 6:24 was this, that some people are finding consolation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one thing was mentioned there. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God's consolation to Israel was Jesus Christ the Lord. But there were others like Herod who were not interested in that consolation. Like that man in Luke 16 as well. He was rich. He fared sumptuously every day. And yet he never repented. He never understood his necessity of being right with God, being prepared for the next world, as well as enjoying this world. And because of that, the Lord Jesus says concerning him and such like, he said, woe unto you who are rich now. You have received your consolation. So you say, the rich have received their consolation? Yes, that's all you're going to get. Thank God that you can have Christ and be rich. But If you are rich without Christ, that's the only consolation you're going to get. You may be consoled with Christ and never be rich, and still you have all the consolation you need. But it may be, and I rejoice in this, you may have the consolation that comes from knowing Christ, and then you may have whatever consolations, wealth, material abundance might bring to you. But if you have material abundance, wealth now, but you've never embraced the consolation that's found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus says, woe unto you that are rich now. You have received your consolation. So God has consolation for everybody. He has consolation for young. He has consolation for old. And if you will not have Christ as consolation, then He will give you the consolation of material things. And some are crying out this way, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we put on? And the Lord says, is that all you want? All right. Then I will give you something to eat, something to drink, something to put on. I will give you wealth. Are you satisfied with that? Yes, that's what I want. And so God gives you that consolation. But He says, woe unto you that are rich now. That is, outside of Christ, without having Christ. You have received your consolation. So understand this. God is telling us that there is a consolation in a material realm in this life, but there is also a consolation in the world to come. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall rejoice. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So there are consolations in this world, and there are consolations in the next. And most of the time, and I wish it were not so, but for a person to have the wisdom to see that these consolations can only be found in Christ, they must be old people. They must have tried and tried and tasted and drunk of all the material things of the world, seeking consolation, and they are not satisfied. But then, in their old age, they look back and they say with the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Why? Because they've tried everything, and without Jesus Christ, everything is emptiness. And they say, vanity. But having said that, having tried the world without Jesus, then some people in their old age say, Lord, what I want is your consolation from heaven. And the only consolation that God has to the satisfying of the heart is Jesus Christ the Lord. And an old man, Simeon, saw it and thanked God. And Anna saw it and thanked God. And this week I read to you from Matthew 21, remember, young people also saw it and were glad. That's what's so important. That you do not have to spend your whole life experimenting with things. And then in your old age, when your youth and when your ability to serve God are gone, then you say, well, I think I will take Christ. But it said that when the Savior came in the temple and He performed the righteousness of God by driving out these money changers and at the same time the blind and the lame came to Him and He bestowed upon them the mercy of God. They saw the severity and the righteousness of God and they saw the mercy and compassion and power of God in Jesus Christ. It said the children in the temple started praising God, and they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. These children understood that the consolation of God was in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And in this instance, it is not emphasizing His deity, though He is Emmanuel, God with us. It is emphasizing His humanity, the Son of David. And God has sent His consolation not in something material, not riches, not things that you can put your hand on in this world. But God has sent His consolation in His Son, the Lord Jesus. and the children of the temple saw it, and they praised God. And this is what is so distressing, that the religious leaders of the day said to the Lord Jesus, "Do you not hear what they're doing? We want you to keep these children quiet. Tell them to stop all of this outcry in the temple." Do you not understand that the thing that those children were doing was light from heaven? It was God teaching mankind what should be done. And the Lord Jesus said, "Yea, did you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise and strength?" And so what God can do and what God has done in this case is to take these children in their innocency, and yet with a wisdom imparted by God, and they saw in the Lord Jesus Christ the promised Messiah. They saw something to cause their hearts to rejoice, and in the temple of God, they were praising the Son of God, God's consolation to Israel. And some men would cause their voices to cease. And the Lord Jesus said, "Do you not understand that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise, strength, glory?" And this is what they're doing. And that is what I'm emphasizing today, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the consolation for the young as well as the old. And I told you that when Simeon held the Lord Jesus in his arms, he blessed God and he prayed to the Lord, "Let me depart in peace. I've seen him." This is an old man. When Anna, an old woman, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, she spoke of him to Israel. But young people praise him as well. And when young people saw the Lord Jesus, they said, "Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And you can see other praises that young people gave the Lord Jesus. They were crying for joy. Why? Because here is something that satisfies a heart in a young person as well as a heart that has beaten so long in an old person. And an old person's heart that is about ready to stop beating, they say, "I can go now, Lord, in peace. I'm ready to go." And a young person's heart beats stronger and faster because they have seen what God put into their heart, an emptiness that cannot be satisfied until Jesus Christ comes and fills that emptiness of heart, and they start praising God for it. And so if you are young and you say, "What's best for me to do in life? What should I live for?" The answer is you should live for Christ, and the best thing for you in life is Jesus Christ our Lord, because if you have Christ, you have everything that is essential for this life and the next. You say, "How is that?" At the remembrance meeting, a theme was brought out, and the theme, "God, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all." He spared not his own Son. Why would God give his own Son? Because that is the only consolation sufficient for young and old. God, who spared not his own Son. So let us rejoice. God did not hold him back. God gave his Son, his only begotten Son. But this is what it says. "He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If God has given his Son, he has given his best. Nothing will be held back. And more than that, God, having given his Son, has given all things in that Son. It is simply up to us to appropriate them, draw from the infinite supply that is in the Lord Jesus Christ everything that you need. If you are a young person or if you are an old person, whatever is needed is to be found in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the Lord Jesus can say to young people, come unto me and I will give you rest. Do you mean that the hearts of young people need rest? They need it more than old people, it seems like. They're out grasping, searching, trying everything. The Lord Jesus said, you'll never find it in anyone except in me. Come unto me, you young people, and I will give you rest. And concerning old people who their whole life long have been searching and have found emptiness and vanity, the Lord Jesus says, now that you have tried everything, he said, you come unto me and I will give you rest. And so an old man like Simeon, an old woman like Anna, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they find rest. And a young person comes to the Lord Jesus and that young person finds rest. He finds something to live for. And an old person says, I have not lived in vain. And what God wants is this. He does not want people to spend a lifetime trying to find out what is best. But it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There are some who spend their whole life long searching, searching, and they keep putting off Christ, putting off Christ. And then in their old age, they say, it is Jesus. But they look back over the past and their life has been wasted, a misspent life. But there are some, thank God, like Timothy. And this is what Paul says, that from a babe, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And here is a young person like Timothy, who from an infant, it says, from a babe, he has known the Holy Scriptures and what they teach about Christ. And this young man has embraced Christ in his youth. And he lives a life of hope and satisfaction and fullness his whole life long. And in his old age, he looks back and says, I've lived to the glory of God and my life has borne fruit for God. And now in my old age, I'm ready to go to my reward with God. And that is what the Lord wants. He wants young people now in this life to embrace Christ as Savior and not only have their souls saved, but have their lives saved and not have them to make shipwreck with all the vain experiences and experiments of man, trying out all of the abominable things that Satan presents to young people today to try to give them satisfaction. And soon they understand that these things destroy, whereas Jesus Christ came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. He came that we might have life and we might have it abundantly. And God says, I want you to understand it and I want you to receive my consolation in your youth. So, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth and come unto him, young people, all of you that are weak and weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you had not an abundance of things to send from heaven to man to console him. You had but one thing. That is all that was needed. Our God, we confess that we have misunderstood the fullness, the sufficiency, the completeness of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So often we think that only for those that are advanced in age, wise, mature, is Jesus sufficient in consolation. You have shown us this day that the babes, the children of the temple, were praising the Savior because he is sufficient for them and he is consolation for them. And we have seen that young people need consolation as well as old. And all consolation is found in Jesus. If there is any consolation, if any comfort of love, if any tender mercies, and all of them are found in Christ, and we rejoice, all of us who have trust in His Savior, that they are to be found in Him. So let all, young and old, understand that the consolation of Israel is for all mankind, for all peoples, and let this consolation enter into their souls, and may they have that peace that comes from heaven and Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.